open your Bibles to 1 Peter 2, 9. Guys, we've come to worship today. We'll have church when we leave here. But while you're turning there in your Bibles, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I can't think of any place in all the world that has been able to experience what we've experienced this morning. I'm telling you, the choir, Gary and Kim and Jerry and Bob and all of them. But here's some things right before, this is my notepad. Before I came up here, there are different requests or different things to share. So I've got me a little, thank you, Bob. First of all, we have a special guest here today, Craig Dobbs' daughter, Candace. Where's Craig? Right here's Candace. Candace, would you raise your hand? And she this is serious. We're going to pray about her moving back to Arkansas. You think of, we are. She mentioned that, and we're going to do that. We're going to pray about that. Also, Wednesday night, we had some people asking about the small groups. They will be still meeting, but we'll also disperse them at different times. But also on Wednesday night, there's going to be a study so that the world will know at 6 o'clock if you're interested in the Hope Center. Kevin and Angie Powell's daughter, Jasmine, who sings up here, is going to be in a play today at 2 p.m. at the Shed. I believe that's correct. Where?
Dunbar.
Oh, boy, I'm glad it didn't go to the Shed. At Dunbar Auditorium. And I would encourage you, 2 p.m., that will be a great experience and support our young people. Also at 2, those can go to Elmcroft. We're going to be ministering to those people at Elmcroft today. And boy, Miss Carol Tolander has done a fantastic job. We singing with them, praying with them, talking with them, and we'll have someone share with them. If you're interested in a Connect group, visit, get a hold of Justin Butterfield. Kevin Morrison asked for us to pray today. I believe it was your daughter? Lindenbach, and that's close. I know Carol is right. And so I'm going to encourage y'all to pray for her. She has cancer, and we'd like to pray for her. Also today is Dale, you're fixing to be 91. Bill Nazarenko has a birthday tomorrow. Is that correct? And I don't know if they're here today, but Suzanne and Pete and the Greek is having a birthday. Seems like I may have. Stephen. Stephen, let's go back. David and Bobby, Alfred, David, they have found an aneurysm on his brain. And Bobby, while she was at the hospital, fell. So we need to be in prayer for the Alfreds. And then Steve and Virginia. Steve, bless his heart, was helping his grandson put up his basketball goal Friday. And he fell off of a ladder. It was pretty high. Praise the God it didn't kill him, really. But he broke a hip, and Saturday morning, they did surgery. They thought they were going to have to replace it. They did not have to. It was a good, clean break. They only put one screw in there. But please be in prayer for them, okay? And I don't know. If there's anything else on here, we'll get to it later, I guess. Anyway, it's great to be in the house of the Lord. I hope you found, I don't use notes, but these are two things I want to share later. And I use them so that I won't forget. And remember, we're friends, Gary, okay, later on. So, if you've turned there today, there's some things I'd like for us to think about today. Boy, the song's been great. The Sunday school class was great. It seems like everything is tied in with what the message is going to be. And I brought a clock. I put the clock right there. Dale Hershberger said he would stand and hold it right here. That is the truth. But I can see it. Now, just if I get to going almost too long, do like this, and y'all want to practice? Everybody, y'all can do like this. Okay. Don't do that. I was kidding. All right, I want to show you some pictures. I think you will recognize them. Some of you will. If you are one of these people or a relative, please don't holler out their name. But if you think you know who it is and you're not kin to them, please let us know. And then I want you to share just something about that individual, okay? And you'll see why. It will tie into the message, okay? How many know who this is right here? Oh, sweet pea, you know. Anyone outside of the relatives? No. Okay, maybe would one of the relatives like to share who it is? They don't even know. It's Gary. Our own Gary Kariba. Look at him. Well, yeah. Yeah. Now, real seriously, real quick, I just want you to throw out some adjectives or some things, nice adjectives, that you... Lewis, that means you can't speak. No. Okay. Just some nice things or just some things you know that you think about when you see Gary or this picture. What's, real quick, what are some things you think about him? Vocal. What?
Crazy.
Crazy. Vocal. Talented. Loves the Lord. Great ministry leader. Awesome. Wow. Thank you all. I'll give you all your money for saying that afterwards. But no. All right. Next picture. Remember, if you're Ken, please don't say anything. How many know who this is? Justin Butterfield. Yeah, with a mullet. he did have hair at one time. What about Justin? Real quick, anything you know about him? Gab? Oh, smart. Okay. Good dad. Reliable. Communicator. As children, he can do anything. I promise you, he can do absolutely, there's not anything I've found that he can't do. Crooked. Oh, Christmas. Okay. Yeah. All right. My hearing is not as good as it used to be. Okay. Next picture. Who is that? Gary. That's right. Another picture of Gary. Oh, who is this? Justin Butterfield. Okay. Who? Sam Bailey. That's his senior year in high school. He was president of the student body. How about Sam? What are some things you know about Sam? Leader. Outgoing. Shepherd, great shepherd, loves people, loves the Lord, loves his family. You could go on all three of those. Now this one, okay, now thank you. Now we can go. I like this picture. I bought it at a garage sale for $3. On the bottom of it, it says, "And I was the one." And it's talking about where the shepherd left all the 99 and went to find the one that was lost. And I don't know whose picture that used to be at one time, but man, it's hanging in the office here. I love it because whoever that was wrote on it personally, "And I was the one." So that meant personal to him. Obviously, we recognize this as Jesus. Real quick, share some things about Jesus. Love. Forgiving. Personal. Yes, I'm just going to answer yes to these and hope that everything's good. All right, next picture. Ah, where is this? Where? Twin Lakes Baptist Church. Tell me some things about Twin Lakes. What? Friendly. Loving. Giving. They better be giving after she talked to us. What?
Greatest church around.
Greatest church around. Yeah, hang on. I'm glad you said that because that's actually one of the words that Christ uses. Leader. Guys, you could go on and on. They give too. And I was so thankful when you talked about giving today. And we'll hold on to the last picture for just a minute, if that's okay. But in the Bible today, if you've turned there, this is not a usual message for me. I'm usually very evangelistic, but it'll have a touch of evangelism in it. But this is a challenge to me, and it's a challenge to Twin Lakes for us to look. When you recognize today, it took us a while to recognize some of them. Some of them we recognized quicker than others. But when we did recognize them, we knew there were some positive qualities that we saw that we loved about these people. I'm going to tell you, if I was going back, I would say humble, Gary, you and Kim both. And it's that is a truly from God. Guys, you two are so talented. You don't have, I'm not insulting your intelligence. You don't have a clue as to how good you all are. But it's God through you. And thank you all. And the same thing with Sam and the same thing with Justin. Wow, we have been blessed here. And today, it's for the church, it's for all of us that are sitting in here today, it's a challenge to me to recognize who we are and why we're like we are and where God wants us to be. Okay? I hope we had a little fun with that, but at the same time, I hope we really realize to stop and think. God has given us this church. In First Peter, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past we were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Sam did such a great job in preaching through 1 Peter. Wow. He made it come to life. And if you missed that, you need to get on the website and look at those messages. But the chosen generation, that generation there does not mean like people from our generation, the next generation. It's talking about a body, actually, what it's talking about here. And just as Israel was considered to be the wife of God in the Old Testament, the church is considered to be the body or the bride of Christ in the New Testament. And so we've been chosen, guys. We've been chosen to go out and tell about Jesus. He's saying, man, I've equipped you. I am in you. I live in you. I want to speak through you. We are a royal priesthood. I like that. Royal actually means king in the Greek, and priesthood, you know, only the priest could go to the Holy and Holies. Man, when Christ died and raised again, He made it possible. We have our own, what we call priesthood of the believer. You and I do not have to go through a pastor. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through anybody. We can go directly to Jesus Christ, just you and Him, just the two of you. Man, I like that. That's intimate. I like that. And reading that book about whisper when that Kurt gave me, whisper. When people whisper, what do? You lean in and listen. Yeah. And you get close and you listen. And God wants us to do that. And then He said, you are a holy nation. A nation means it's a group that have the same goals, the same vision, the same objective, the same purpose, the same hope, and the same faith. And holy means set apart. So He has actually set us apart for a particular purpose. And here, this is what I love about it. He says, and you are a peculiar people. The word peculiar there, when we hear that, we think of someone in an oddball or something's wrong with them. But that's not what it means. But peculiar means you are special, you are unique. In fact, here's what the word really means. It means you've got something you want and you draw a circle around it and say, that's mine. Any of y'all ever used to shoot marbles when you were kids? Most of y'all too. Yeah, you remember? And you drew the circle and you put the marbles in there and those were yours. And that circle said, those are mine. And someone would try to take their steely ball and knock them out and then they were theirs. Well, you know what? Peculiar means that it means a circle that is drawn around something and it's indicating you belong to me. Man, you remember when you got married and you put that ring on that beautiful lady's? Jerry, you remember that when you put that on Glenda's hand? Man, that circle going on there says, she belongs to me. She's mine. Man, I love that song. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. I think that's somehow close to where it goes. I don't know. If not, I'll make it up. So, and then it says, but here's why. So that you and I could show forth praises of Him. That's God who called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light. You know, guys, if you do not have Jesus Christ, or before you had Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I lived in the dark. We may have thought we knew something, but I'm going to tell you we didn't. And He says, I'm taking you out of the dark. I don't like the dark. You like the dark? It gets kind of scary in the dark. I remember running to the house one night, and it was lightning and thundering, and I don't like lightning, so I was running, not very fast, but I was running. And I thought, I'm going to jump to the steps. And about that time, Sweet Pea turned off the porch light. Now, some of my stories aren't true, but this is a true story. And the next thing I heard her saying, are you okay? I hit that post with my head. I was laying out there. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I don't like the dark. And God says, I'm bringing you out of the dark into the light. Now, listen, real quick, take your pencil. It's okay to mark in this book. It is, I promise you. Go over to chapter 1, verse
3, real quick. Here's why we can do that, because it says, "Blessed be the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, made us lively hope." Guys, he's given us hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's given us an inheritance in verse 4 that's incorruptible. In verse 5, he's given us the power through the resurrection to live the life that will please him. Over in verse 18, and we sang about it a while ago. I love the songs that we sing here. Oh my goodness, we could just stop and have an invitation right then. "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed. You were bought back, but you were bought back with a price, not of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." We sang about the blood a while ago, the blood that has cleansed us. And then verse 23, "Born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible." Listen, guys, and all it goes back to verse 10, we are the people of God. We are the people of God. And as a people of God, there are some things that I think about. First of all, his relationship in marriage, husband and wife, the bride of Christ. Now, actually, it never says the word bride of Christ in the Bible, but it indicates that. Okay? You say, where does it indicate that our relationship with him? Listen, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, he says, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Temple is where someone what? Lives. "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Okay. "Who is in you, whom was given to you by God. Your body is not your own." And guys, I'm going to tell you, we talk with people every week, that think they are in control of their lives, that they can do what they want to do, they can think what they want to think, they can live the way they want to live. And my Bible says, they think they belong to themselves, but my Bible says, you have Christ, your body, my body, belongs to God. And it says, and use that body to bring glory and honor to him. I think of Galatians 2:20, "I'm crucified with Christ." Man, I don't know about you, but if I was crucified, I would be what? What would you be if you were crucified? Dead. "If I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And I live by faith, the life in me, by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me." Guys, it's not you and I that are able to overcome. It's Christ in us. John 15:5, he says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and will bear much fruit. For without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Guys, you two wouldn't be worth 2 cents singing if it wasn't for Christ. You might have a good voice, but you would not do what you do. I'm telling you. Lewis, you're a great salesman. You really are. You're an honest and integrity. You have a lot. You are. But you would not be if it weren't for Christ. And I guarantee you, you wouldn't have the great wife you do if it weren't for Christ. I knew him when we were growing up. And so, sorry, Lewis. But we could do nothing. Christ in us. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "Hey, I'm telling you something. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now, it wasn't upon the rock of the name of Peter. It was on the death, the burial, the resurrection, the virgin birth. It was that he was holy. He was without sin. He was truly God's son. He was truly God. He was the God-man. I can't explain that, but I know it's true. And so he's saying, I'm going to build this church. And I know you're saying, ecclesia really is any born-again believer. I understand that. But there are, Christ died that we might gather here today. That's how important Twin Lakes Baptist is, or wherever you're going. Christ died. Hebrews 10:25, he said, hey, don't do like others and forsake assembling yourself together. He's telling us, assemble ourselves together. And I believe that's the way that it should be. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the church. He is the head of the body. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead. So that in all things, everything, he would receive preeminence. Wow. That he would be first in everything that we do. In our giving. In our praying. In our ministry. In our hopes. In our dream. In our family. In our marriage. In our disappointments. In our good times. He is first in everything. and Ephesians, and I asked Sweet Pea because I didn't want to offend anybody, but it's the gospel, okay? Ephesians 5:23, it says, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now listen, please listen. When it says the husband is the head of the wife, headship is not dictatorship. Headship, you think about that. Your head is what guides you to making the decisions and walking and seeing and moving around like God intended for us to. It's actually talking about union more than anything. Being together. Just as, and he's relating Christ to the church as a husband and a wife. The headship. And really, a lady told me one time, and I thought it was a pretty wise statement. She said, my husband may be the head of the house, but I'm the neck. That was pretty good. In other words, she was kind of helping him decide which way he was going to go. And that's good. I tell you what, if you've got a godly wife, if you've got a godly wife, be thankful. And ladies and men, if we'll do what the Bible says and stay in alignment with him in our marriage, in our homes, in our churches, we'll be a whole lot happier, and we'll go a whole lot further, and we'll bring a whole lot more praise to God. But I think of the bride, and this time we can show that picture, that other picture, if you would. Ah, any of you recognize who that is? Sweet Pea. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, she's the love of my life. And when I think of Christ's love for this church, and I think of my love for Sweet Pea, man, you think about this. When you look for your spouse, when I saw her, oh my goodness, honestly, I had to look to see if my socks were still on. You think I'm kidding? That's almost a true story. But anyway, yeah, here's some qualities that I looked for in the church. And I wonder if people outside, and I wonder if God's looking for these. I wanted someone, first of all, that was beautiful on the inside. Now, hey, if you can find them beautiful on the outside, and I did, and beautiful on the inside, that is awesome. You think about this. As we get older, and for some of you young pups, I'm promising you it's coming, we lose our hair, we lose our eyesight, we lose our hearing, we lose our get up and go. The men develop what I call Dunlap's disease, their stomach Dunlapped over their belt. We do. We lose a lot of those things. And I won't tell you what I used to tell the girls. No, anyway, I tell them, be sure you find a beautiful lady. Because when they get to be about 50 or 60, they all look the same. I was kidding. I was kidding. But anyway, well, this will be my last time. But seriously, they're giving me this. It's not even 11:30. All right. I've got to see if we can bring it back in. You know, what I look for, and I think God's looking for that in the church. We do want this church to look nice. Do you agree? And it is beautiful. We've got a great facility all the way across. God has given it to us. And it is nice, and we want to keep it clean. But you know what? People and God are not looking for that so much as when they enter this, do they feel love? Do they feel forgiveness? Do they feel hope? Do they feel transparency that we're really who we are? We're not putting on a front or an act. And that's what I look for in a wife. One that is beautiful on the inside. One that doesn't change. No matter how the exterior changes, the inside remains beautiful. So that when you're 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, and you're sitting there on the couch watching a Hallmark movie holding hands, you still have that same love. You love them for who they are. And the second quality I thought about when I saw this beautiful lady was faithfulness. Man, I like people that are faithful, don't you? Yeah, and God is looking for His church to be faithful so that when people look at us, when people from the outside look at us, are we faithful? Are we who we say we are? And when, you know, all of us make sins. I've made more than all of you all put together. But God still wants us to be faithful. And I believe one of those keys is called repentance, to where we come back and say, God, Man, David. David was probably a chief repenter. He was also a chief sinner. God, will you forgive me? That's what I looked for. And I wonder, is he looking for that in our churches? I looked for loyalty. Someone that would not leave the first time things didn't go well. And I know there's some broken hearts and broken homes that are sitting here. So I'm not being critical. If it weren't for Sweet Pea's relationship and walk with Christ, ours could easily be a broken home. Man, when you coach and give more time to your coaching and the youth director and all this than you do your family, there's something wrong with that picture. And Sweet Pea, Christ through hers, actually is what has always held our family together. But loyalty. And then I think of encourager. I love this. Man, when we lay down at night and we read our Bible and we pray, I love it when she says, God, I want to thank you today for what my husband did. Oh, my goodness. That makes my heart leap, and I want to do more. And listen, I think she's the most perfect person I've ever met, but when she also prays, God, will you forgive me for the times I've fallen short and help me be the wife that you intended for me to be, to help Bill be what you want him to be. And you know, isn't that what God is looking at us about? And he's wanting us to, as like a bride, to be able to say, listen, God, forgive me when I have fallen short of where you want me to be. Help me be the bride of Christ that will bring honor and glory to you. It's about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And so I think of these things, and yet I think our churches sometimes get a bad rap. You know, some of the things that we hear in the public or dealing with people when you invite them is, one of the first things out is, well, those people are nothing but a bunch of what? Hypocrites. And you know what? You know what? In a way, sometimes they're right. I wish I could tell you I've always been exactly what I said. It's easier to put it off on someone else. In fact, I want to tell me if this is the truth. Y'all went to Florida in the past year. Is that right, Karen? Yeah. So see, this is a true story. They went to Florida, and while they were in Florida, they were on a real quick schedule. There was a tooth problem. And so Gary ran into the dentist and down there, and he said, hey, listen, we're on vacation. We don't have time. We need to have a tooth pulled, but we don't have time, so we don't want any type of deadening. Just pull it and get it done. And that dentist looked at Gary and said, boy, I don't know if I've ever seen anyone so brave in all my life. He said, show me where this tooth is. And Gary said, okay. Kim, show him where the tooth is. So, See, it's always easier when it's someone else. This message isn't for someone else. This message is for me. And this message is for you. Without any deadening. And so, we hear these things, and the Bible says, don't be hypocrites. But let me ask you, what kind of excuse is it? You don't have to raise your hand, but if you think about this, have you ever gone to a doctor and he didn't tell you exactly what you thought, and you said, man, he's not what he said? In other words, he would be a what? Quack. I love it. Yeah, I was thinking hypocrite, but quack would work. Don't tell my brother the doctor. In fact, I'm the only one in my family that's not. Okay. Have you ever gone to a mechanic and you left and he told you one thing and the bill was different or something? You said, oh, man, that's not right. So he would be a what? Not a poor mechanic, a what? Hypocrite. We're going to practice this. We're going to get it right on the next one. Or let me ask you, have you ever known a husband or a wife or a child? In fact, who can you think of that sometime in their life probably hadn't been a hypocrite? But we don't quit going to the hospital. We don't quit going to the lawyer. In fact, that was the next one. Then I was afraid to ask what you'd say. The answer is hypocrite. Don't forget all those other names. But he's saying, hey, listen, there are some hypocrites in the church. I've been one. But the church is like the hospital. Listen, guys, you don't go to the hospital because everything's hunky-dory. You go to the hospital because you're hurting. You're going to the hospital maybe because you're dying. You're going to the hospital because you've got an ailment. Something's just draining you of every ounce in your body. And you go looking for hope. And you think about this. Everybody that's in those rooms, when we were up there visiting with Steve the other night, we ran into bukus of people we got to pray for. A lot of different people that we know over the years. Every one of them is hurting. All of us in this room, in some time or another, are hurting. And we need Jesus. He is the answer. And man, I looked it up. There's 4,200 religions. And there's actually one for every letter of the alphabet. Every letter. And I couldn't think of one for Q's today, so Sweepy said quack. But there's true. There's one for every letter. There's 4,200, but there's only one Jesus. And so we come to the hospital. When people, if you're watching today, listen, come. It doesn't have to be Twin Lakes, but I'm telling you, it's a great church. You're sitting here today thinking, man, I don't want to be here. I don't know why I came. Church, they're hypocrites. But listen, guys, there are, all of us are at some time. But that's why we're here. We're here because we won't help. You go to the doctor because you won't help. And that's what you expect. So when you walk through these doors, and I think Miss Doris said it, what are you expecting? I prayed this morning, every person that would enter this door, would they expect to see Jesus Christ? Would they expect to feel His presence? And I'm going to tell you, if you didn't feel His presence when they were leading the worship up here, you probably are lost. I'm sorry, that's the truth. How could you not feel the presence of God? It would be almost impossible. And so, I think as I think about these things, I see the church and I see marriages, since there was a relationship there, a correlation. I see three things. I see that the people are either exiting, existing, or really and truly have an exceptional church or exceptional marriage. One of those three things. And you know, Why do people exit marriages? Why do they exit churches? And because there's no real commitment. I don't know about you, but my daddy, when he told me I was fixing to get married, he said, son, you need, of course, they love Sweet Pea. They loved her when they do me. That's the truth. We get in an argument, boy, he's wrong again. Is that the truth? That was a true story. I thought I was wasn't in the right family or something. But it's because there's no commitment. And so when we come to a church that Jesus Christ died for, we need to know, what is our commitment? When you get married, you need to know, what is my commitment? It says, till death do you part. Now that doesn't mean, wives, you can kill your husband. But it says, till death do you part. Now listen, doctrine, that's another reason, oh, yeah, doctrine. We don't need doctrine. Well, either if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And in fact, Titus 2:1 says, teach and preach the things that are becoming of sound doctrine. It is biblical. And I just want to share, here are the Twin Lakes Baptist Church beliefs. I love this. Here's what we stand on. Here's what we believe. We believe that there's one God manifest in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, was born of a virgin, was holy God and holy man, lived in a sinless life, died a substitutionary sacrifice for us, for the sins of mankind, was buried, rose again on the third day, and ascended into heaven. We believe in the literal, imminent return of Jesus Christ to earth. We believe in a second coming. Listen, guys, not everybody believes these, I promise you. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God without error, the sole authority of life. And if I told you, you wouldn't believe me, but I'm telling you this is the truth. I know of two pastors in this town. I wouldn't tell you, so don't ask who they are. One of them does not believe that the story about Noah was the truth. How do you preach from the pulpit if you don't believe the Bible is true? I have no idea. The other one has told me there's over 200 errors in the Bible, that not everything is correct that's said. Listen, guys, if you can't believe one part of it, why would you believe the other part of it? Guys, it is correct, sound. It is the authority from the first letter in Genesis to the last one in Revelation. And that's what this church believes. We believe that mankind fell from the sin of the first man, Adam, and that all men were sinners in need of salvation. We believe that salvation is a gift from God through repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that every person who is truly saved is eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's called that's called a security of the believer. So, a lot of people don't believe that. I would hate to go to bed at night, every night, wondering, am I going to heaven? Man, I'm not going to heaven for anything I've done. I promise you that. Jesus Christ did it all, paid it all on the cross with the red blood written in red, and then was raised from the dead. We believe that everyone who is truly is saved, We believe that those persons who die in their sins will spend eternity in hell. Those who die with sins forgiven will spend eternity in heaven. We believe that baptism is obedience to the command of Christ and is by immersion after salvation. We believe that the church is a local body of baptized believers with the Lord Jesus Christ as a head. I'm going to read it one more time. This is the church. I know ecclesia, that's all people, all believers. But this is the local body. This is what God said when he's talking to Peter and said, hey, you're fixing to build, we're going to build a church, and we're going to have it based on the foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And so he says, we believe that the church here is a local body here of baptized believers with the Lord Jesus Christ as the head. We believe that every believer has direct access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, priesthood of the believers. You don't have to go to a priest. And we believe in the separation of church and state, but not the separation of God and government. Guys, that is doctrine. And we need to get back to doctrine. And this church has done a lot of great things. Now listen, all praise goes to Jesus. All praise goes to Jesus. These are just some of the things this past year, though. Why did we give the tithe? So that we can go outside these four walls. Guys, we came to worship today. We will have church when we leave here. I don't know if you ever... Did you ever hear Charlie Johnson? You're too young. Charlie Johnson, the Revivers. They sang a song called Let's Have Church 105 times in a row. They said, let's have church, let's have church, let's have church. 105 times I counted them. I love the song. And then they finally got to something else on there. But it was, let's have church. We're going to have church when we leave here. We came to worship today. Here's some things that God is using this body for. Evidence, praise to Him. In fact, I thought about this. Alex likes to race. When he does well and he comes in, I guarantee you there is someone that sponsored that car. And I could be wrong, but I bet when he comes in, they say, boy, Alex, you did great. He said, yeah, but I've got a great sponsor with a great car. And that's what this church is doing. We're not saying we've got a great church. We do, but we're saying we've got a great God with a great Son. His name is Jesus. Listen, last year, Twin Lakes Baptist Clothes Closet gave out literally hundreds of clothes to children that would not have clothes, 100 boxes of cereal to the Threshold Ministry, a semi-truck full of water and food for the Houston victims, 24 or 25 every other week, led by Carol Tolander, doing ministry to Elmcroft. That's outside these walls. The information packets and bread, thank you, Bill Nazarenko, and to your wife, Judy, also. It's a vision of both of yours, not just yours. You're carrying it on. But every week, they keep the visitation team. They have gone to over at least a minimum of 600 homes to share Christ with these people outside these walls. Caroling to the hospice house and to the nursing home. 500 dresses were sent around the world. The many times that Sam has stopped in the service and said, we've got a need, someone stand up. And people would literally stand up. He'd say, great, you take care of it. That's outside. That's Christ. That's church. That's what God intended us to do. The BCM this year with Bill Nazarenko and Lou and Robert and Judy and Debbie and Sam and Annette. And I hate to brag. I won't brag on me, but my wonderful wife. Guys, she cooks crock pots every four or five crock pots every Sunday afternoon, four or five, six cakes, desserts for these college students. And these other people I mentioned have done the same thing. This is Twin Lakes giving, helping keep the grounds beautiful outside, and the fair project. There are so many more. Food for the funerals. I'm not sure who all does that, but every time it's been awesome. They've been there loving on those people and had food for them. Listen, Christ wants you and I to serve. The church needs us to serve. And the community is looking for hope in us. Now, time is short, so I will not share the rest of it with you, but I will the next time. I will have a chance. And the next time it's going to be, we'll finish with ropes. We won't do that today. But you go home and look up ropes on sea vessels, okay? Very important. Started back in the 1800s. There's four of them. Most important, but I'll just do the last one, the bell rope. The bell rope was attached for a warning and to give information out to people. And on that bell was inscribed the name of that ship. Now listen, this church, Twin Lakes Baptist Church, just like the bell. And you know what? Wherever the ship went, the bell went. And when they retired the ship, they retired the bell. And it, listen, that bell and the things it had inscribed on it told about the heritage and the history and the giving that came through that ship. And I'm going to tell you, you all are the rope bell. You're the rope bell. So that people see the heritage and the history and what's giving in the name of Jesus to other people. I don't know where you are today in your relationship. And when we get to the word ropes, the first one will be recognizing where you are. If you do not have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if it would help, I'd get on my knees and beg, but it won't. If you're here today without Jesus, on the first ding, would you come down here? We will pray with you and give you the opportunity to have Jesus in your life. See, it said the people of God, remember back in verse 10, and at one time you were not the what? People of God. If you're here without Him, you're not a person of God. And He loves you. He wants to live in your life. If you're looking for a good church home and you've been praying about it, if God leads you to Twin Lakes Baptist Church, I promise you, based on what I know, you will not be disappointed, because Sam's going to preach the truth. They're going to sing the truth. We're going to teach the truth. And we, to the best of our ability, we're going to fall short so many times. But we're going to seek Christ. We're going to seek Christ and repent. And if you're looking for a church home, come and we will help you. And you say, hey, I'd like to be a part of this body. You come. Or maybe you just need to pray with someone else or go somewhere. It doesn't have to be down here. It could be here. Could get up and go all the way across the other side. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Maybe you just need to pray. I don't see Daryl here today. He's going to shoot me and think I'm crazy. But Gary, I'd like for you and Kim to stand up here, please. Robert, Judy, Jerry, I'd like for y'all to be down here. You say, Coach, you're crazy. I know you think that. I'm going to tell you, I love y'all. And I would not do that if I didn't have the fullest confidence that God can use y'all. We're going to pray, and then we're going to have the invitation. If God leads you, you come. Come, they'll pray with you. They'll cry with you. They'll hurt with you. If it's something serious, they'll keep it confidential. If you want Jesus, you come. Please don't say no. I know there's some people in this congregation today that are struggling. I do, because I know you. Turn loose and let Jesus have your life. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we love you, and why in the world you'd even give me the humble privilege, I have no idea, but I thank you. I thank you most of all that your word is true. And I pray today, God, that your Holy Spirit, as He's spoken to my heart, He's brought me to places where I've had to ask for forgiveness. He's brought me to places where I've needed to say, I'm sorry, I didn't trust you more. He's brought me to places to where I say, would you please help me be better in my life? I pray that if the Holy Spirit touches any heart like that today, that you'll not allow Satan to keep you in your seat, that today you would come. And we will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.